Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part.
Oh, hello, Hannah.
Oh, hi there, Victoria.
How's your day, week, month, life?
Wonderful. The weather is getting colder.
Ew.
No, it's winter. Winter vibes. Except I'm going to Barbados in 2.5 weeks with my sister.
Oh my God.
It's going to be good.
That sounds awful, frankly.
In, you know, corporate Hannah news, I yesterday was sitting in the office telling someone I was going to Barbados while doing a dance that involved, like, shaking my shoulders, and didn't realise that the chief financial officer was, like, walking directly towards me, looking at me, and I'm going to Barbados! I went extremely red and, yeah, just turned back to my computer.
Did they come over and talk about Barbados?
No, they did not, no. Mm. Hard numbers that man deals in, no fun stuff.
Yeah, we had a very cold spell recently, didn't we? but you're going to Barbados, that's what matters. Are you going to drink? Do you think you might drink
rum
from a coconut?
I'll drink from anything. I'd drink from a soggy old boot. You know me.
That's the spirit.
One of my favourite lines from Will and Grace is when Karen says, "Honey, I'd suck the alcohol from a deodorant stick."
That was a really good impression.
Thank you. My voice and hers are like a similar pitch.
You must give us an update on the things that you ate in Italy.
Eating in Italy is my favorite thing. You sing it better than me. I don't get the pitch right.
I just also dear listener, Hannah made me send her a voice note of that song while she was in Italy.
Because it's from Master of None, right? Where they go to Italy. And I knew they were singing a song about eating in Italy, but I couldn't remember what it was. And I couldn't find it on YouTube. So I was walking along the streets of Venice and demanded that Vic. And she started just typing it to me. And I was like, voice note, please. It's one of my favorites. You sound so cheery. Venice, delicious Aperol spritz, I would say, above all else, just to keep the alcohol theme going.
Yeah.
I think Italians themselves, and I did talk to a few of them before I went, would say that Venice is not the best for food. But we still had some amazing things to eat. Highlight for me, and I think I texted you at the time to say it changed my life, was this mascarpone ice cream with sea salt and olive oil that just was so savory and sweet, like sweet at the same time. It was incredible, which I talked about in the last episode. But the meal, the main course that preceded that was this really, really good pumpkin ravioli in pumpkin and tomato. And the pasta dough was just so fine. And then it was like this delicious, just, I can't even remember. I remember trying to memorize what was all in it because it was so tasty. I was like, I'm going to try and recreate this at home. But then it was like a garlicky, buttery sauce. And it was just like, you know, when you just don't want it to end, I was like cutting up the ravioli, like really fine. There's never enough ravioli. No. Like, do you know one of those dishes that you see and they serve one big ravioli? Like, no, mate, sorry. I need like a stack, like pancakes. And really good pistachio gelato, which is like, pistachio's the best. I was very discerning. There's lots of ice cream places. It's really hard to pick like which ones that you, choose. But anyway, Venice is famous for cicchetti, which are like the little snacky bits that you have with like a drink.
Right.
And my mouth is watering now because I realize I haven't eaten in ages. But one of the great ones, I don't think this will be up your street, but it was almost like soft bread, like pan, like shaku pan or something, or like sandwich pan with mozzarella inside. And then like you could get tomato in there or anchovy. And then it was like the whole thing was like battered and then like, yeah, I guess like fried. Oh. And so when you cut into it, the bread almost went like really soft. Like I didn't even know it was bread. I had to like look up what it was. And then the gooey mozzarella and then the saltiness of the anchovy and the crispiness of the batter. So delicious.
That sounds great. That is up my alley with the anchovy. Well, also the tomato, but want to eat that. Like a little so savory, like Lamington. Like kind of like a little square of.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Exactly. Quite thin. And then, we had some just other great like pasta. And we found this one good pizza place because a lot of the pizza looked a bit sad. I'm not going to lie. Like it's not Naples or, you know, like the hot spots for pizza. But we did find one place that did a really good Neapolitan pizza. And the service was horrendous, but the pizza was really, really good. And I will find the name of that maybe and include it in the show notes. Maybe I'll include a couple of names of places we went because they were really, really good. And I think it's hard to know because it's so touristy there and it's just really like, difficult to know which place to go. There's a million. So yes, I'll include a couple in the show notes for the fans.
Lovely.
You're welcome,
and
guys.
I guess in a couple of months you'll have to update us about Barbados food.
Yeah, not even a couple of months. A month.
All right, okay.
Sorry. Right. And also, you and I, in life updates, are expecting... No, we...
expecting what? A podcast, hopefully.
We went to see Off Menu Live. The podcast that we mentioned a million times.
The podcast that launched 1,000 podcasts, which are ours.
Our friendship, potentially. James and Ed, in real life, talking.
I'm still hot and bothered thinking about it, frankly. Remembering it. It was a beautiful time.
A it was great. So yeah, a reminder of the format of Off Menu is like them talking to a celebrity guest about their ideal menu, like starter, main course, dessert, side, drink, not in that order, but it's so for the show they did like the audience's dream menus at the start, which was really fun, and then the audience helped them pick the secret ingredient that the guest isn't allowed to mention, and then the guest was the second half, and it was like comedian John Robbins,
yeah,
who had this really nostalgic menu of all these like times in his life when he'd eaten a particular thing, like in his car eating, what was he eating in the car, like a type of crisps,
pickled onion McCoys, and they were, yes, called, they were Rugby World Cup ones, so they were called like pickled scrummion.
Yeah, that's right. But it was great, it was a fun time.
It was so fun.
What I learned is that a lot of people in the audience did not like mushrooms or baked beans.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like mushrooms. And do you like baked beans? You don't really, you're not a mushroom guy.
I'm not a mushroom guy, I'm not, you're not a fun guy. Too much time together. I'm not a huge baked bean person, but I would have them on toast with cheese. But it's not a bit, and I don't like the idea of them on your breakfast plate touching, okay, the egg and touching other things. It makes, right, me feel a bit funny.
You're like, give them me in a little separate container situation.
If at all. Yeah, I don't know if they, okay, deserve a place on that breakfast.
You feel like, are you place, a dry breakfast person?
Yeah. Eggs should be the only point of moisture. Source of moisture. And some hot sauce.
We shouldn't go into it now, but absolutely, we should, next time we should talk about our like English Irish breakfast,
yes,
dream plate.
Yes.
Because what a conversation.
I know. Yeah, I would be fascinated to hear. Doesn't it, haven't you talked about your dad does a good like English breakfast?
My dad is a big a big guy in the English breakfast world. makes a great one. But I think that's like, I feel like there's different rules for inside and outside the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Let's dedicate an intro section to this next time.
And I don't think I know what makes an Irish breakfast different, but there is stuff, isn't there, to an English breakfast?
I would say black pudding and white pudding probably are differentiators there. Wow. Yeah, we'll get into it.
We'll get into that.
And then you stuff it all definitely into it again.
With a chicken cutlet and potato salad. We will not be talking about black pudding for this book, I don't think.
No, it's a plant. It's a plant-based gal.
It's a plant-based babe. Today's book, Hannah.
Yes.
I don't know why I thought that about that, but it just felt like me introducing on this morning. Maybe I'm manifesting and that's in my future.
We hope.
I'm sorry, the British public, if I ever present on television.
You would be great.
A new way to bake.
A new way to bake.
By Philip Corey. What a guy he is. Philip Corey is an Australian pastry chef. Hannah,
oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't.
Oh, mate. but I don't know if you watch any of his videos. He doesn't really have too much of an accent.
I think I've seen him on Saturday Kitchen before, and yeah, I didn't think that he was Aussie. Was he?
Yeah. Was he Aussie?
Oi, oi, oi. I don't know much about him.
Well, he is Australian, but he has like Lebanese roots, Lebanese family, so that could be the reason that he doesn't have too much of a Aussie accent.
Yeah.
There's not a load on him that I could find, but some interesting bits. So he has a Lebanese family, so food was a really big part of his life. He talks about how he'd like cook and eat with his family, but he didn't start baking until he was 21.
Okay.
What an old man.
I know. what do you call this?
He was doing like, I read he was doing like a design. No, he's in this book actually. He says he was doing a design degree.
Oh.
And would just be baking, bringing it into his internship. And his boss said to him, like, have you thought about baking professionally? And he was like, oh, yeah, maybe. And then he went to do a baking, like an apprenticeship, where he, like, studied one day a week and worked the rest of the week in, like, I mean, this is where it gets, like, funny. Like, he went to work in, like, Australia's most renowned restaurant, which is called Key, Q-U-A-Y.
Okay.
So he was working there.
Yeah.
Which is funny. But anyway, So he learned the ropes there and then went to different jobs. And then he started working for Adriano Zombo. Is that someone that you know? Not personally, but
Zombo's Great Desserts on Netflix.
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
Yeah, like Australians, like most, famous pastry chef, whatever, like amazing Willy Wonka style.
Yes. When I was baking and I was making hardly any money, I also au paired on the side. And the 7-year-old boy of the two that I minded every day was obsessed with Zombo's Great Desserts. And because he knew I baked, he was like, Hannah, have you heard of Zombo's Great Desserts? And anyway, I'd pick him up from school and I'd bring him home and we'd like sit and watch that for a bit.
Oh, fun.
It's mental.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But it sounds like he kind of, Philip, who we're talking about, he, worked under Adriano Zombo and then got to, like, open a new section around, like, development, like, developing different desserts and stuff. So he's kind of, like, his mentor. And he mentions, like, everywhere I saw that was, like, who's your, like, idol in baking, and he's like Zombo, Zombo, Zombo. So like they've obviously got like quite a serious
Zombond. Sorry.
That sounds like a glue. You know, like
he needs a Zombond. Zombond.
And then he moved to London, but just before he moved to London, he I think a conversation, he's talked about this like chance conversation happening about vegan baking and how he thought it was impossible, but he'd been, you know, it kind of challenged everything he thought about dairy and eggs and how that they are so like ubiquitous with baking and good baking.
Yeah.
But actually the effects on the planet are huge. And so he got into vegan baking and he was he talks about how old Zombo made him believe that nothing is impossible kind of thing.
Oh my God.
Just like went away and started trying to figure out how to make pastry but vegan, plant-based. And what fun. And he seems to be like this big, you know, very, very interested in like the climate crisis and like doing his what he can to help, he's only a pastry chef. I saw him talk about that in one of the interviews. Like he, it feels like maybe being a pastry chef can't help that much, but he's doing his bit. So he moves to London. And in this book, and if you read his little prologue, but he talks about how he applied to be the Queen's pastry chef.
Oh my God.
But didn't get it. But ended up being the head pastry chef at Harrods.
Also famed for its, you know, wanting to save the planet.
Yeah. I don't spend a lot of time in Harrods. I don't know if you do.
Oh, yeah, every day.
But the operation there is huge, like the food operation. He talks about there's... So he became the head pastry chef in 2018. They have over 50 pastry chefs just in Harrods, just in pastry. It's apparently the largest food and beverage operation in Northern Europe that's based in one building.
That's huge.
And they have 20 restaurants in Harrods. Who even knew that? Plus their food hall.
Yeah, I've been to the food hall. I love the food hall, but yeah, never been to one of the restaurants. I didn't realise there was like 20. That's insane.
No, that seems a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But everyone, including you, Hannah. And I wanted to send you this pre-record, but I like to keep things fresh. You should all go on his TikTok because he does these amazing videos of the pastry kitchen and all the desserts and people like Finn, and they look
incredible.
It just looks amazing. Like, it's obviously such an operation, but all the desserts they're so uniform and they're so like classic. Mm. But he also has introduced more than 20 completely vegan desserts and pastries to Harrods.
That's impressive.
As well as like allergy-friendly ones. So I guess there's gluten-free and stuff.
Yeah.
So isn't that like he's
very amazing. Impressive.
And he talks a lot about how for this book, but generally in his cooking, he strives to find ingredients that are like natural and like exist in the world, in every market. So it's not just, he hates like margarines and I guess therefore like vegan butters and stuff. Yeah. And that runs through this book, is that there's no like weird or hard to find ingredients. It's all just stuff that you can get in the supermarket.
Totally.
Which is amazing, I think. Like really incredible. But that seems to be like his almost like his guiding light of his cooking and of this book particularly, that it's all kind of
accessible.
So the book was released at the end of August this year, 2023, so it's only been out a couple of months, but it's definitely got a hype. It's completely plant-based. There is not an animal product used at all. We were talking about it. It has all natural ingredients, and he has something called the plant tree.
Yes,
which I love.
Yeah, it's that's like a great.
Plant tree, but plants.
Get
Do
it?
Do you see what he did there?
Yeah.
See what he did there? Which is great. Where he talks you through, like, I love this in a baking book, where they talk you through like what the ingredients are and why you need that, why they need them in the baking, and that he really goes into that. About oils and about leaveners and about sugars and everything.
A brief history of cake page is great as well. Like,
yes.
The rules. Read the recipe from start to finish. Use scales. Don't substitute.
Yes.
It's
great.
Yeah. That's essential when you really
tools.
See, the, you know, there's always that thing about, you know, pastry chefs and regular chefs, or like cooks and bakers, and that like in cooking you can sub in so much more freely, right? And in pastry it's like, use scales, don't substitute anything. It's like everything is so
don't
precise.
Substitute anything. I was texting Hannah yesterday and I was gonna do my baking from this a couple of days ago, and I thought I had everything, and then I didn't have a sugar that I needed, and I was like, oh, that's really annoying. But he says in that book to not substitute, and I want to be teacher's pet. And also, I was, you know, I came into this book a bit like, a pastry chef doing vegan baking. Like, I feel a bit like worried. It's a very, it's the book is white and gold on the front.
Yeah.
So it feels very like pastry-y.
Yeah, a bit sterile as well, right? It's not like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Very warm.
But the pictures inside are beautiful. But very I was beautiful. A bit worried, so I wanted to be on it.
But then when you start leafing through it, I was like, oh, okay, this is just normal stuff that anyone wants to bake, but in a vegan way. And that really impressed me, because I thought it was going to be a bit left field, but actually it's probably loads of like French classics and like chocolate chip cookies, like tarts, brioche, all these just normal kind of baking things, but just dairy free. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not too intimidated by this now. I thought it was just going to be a bit nuts, a bit involved.
Yes.
but it's
yes,
not.
I did as well. I thought it was gonna. I was gonna end up, you know, ordering a load of stuff,
yeah,
from Amazon or whatever, and you know, and feeling a bit like, oh, this is a nice coffee table book, you know,
yeah,
head pastry chef at Harrods, like,
yes,
but you know, you've changed my mind, Phil. You've changed my mind. It's not like that at all. It's very, like you said, it's very classic. Also, what's fun about this, which we haven't talked about, and I didn't really use, but every single recipe has a QR code,
yes,
to a video of him showing you how to do it.
It's very Molly Baz.
Every single recipe. It's very Molly Baz.
Yeah, that
but
is
it's amazing.
Amazing.
I watched a couple. I didn't use them for my baking because it's just not the way I kind of learn. But maybe I would for any of the more like difficult techniques.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not a video person, but I really I get. Yeah, there's loads of people that are, and like I think that's great. Yeah, and like good tips. In at each at the bottom of each
great
of the recipes. I was really pleasantly surprised when I started browsing through. I think you actually it was at your house when I went to visit Vic last weekend and you had it first. And it's worth mentioning that it sold out loads of places online as well, isn't it? Like it wasn't the easiest.
We had to go to an actual bookshop to get it.
Yeah, it was like Very, very strange. And that bookshop, yeah, bookshop that had like a huge cookbook section. It was great. I wasn't feeling too sad about this when
intimidated.
I opened it. Yeah. I like it. It's a good
I
first
also,
vibe.
Yeah, me too. And also just, I just appreciated it and him for, because
I
love
you.
Vegan cooking. I'm interested in vegan cooking and like,
yeah,
you know, how to make it interesting and integrate it into people's daily life, and like this is a great book for that. Anyway, should we talk about what you made?
We shall. I made two things. I don't know why I was waiting to be judged on that, but you know, here we are. I was very intrigued firstly by the Madeleines, in a surprise to nobody, because as we know, I love making Madeleines. I would like to have a business around Madeleines, I think. So I was like, oh, how does he do this in a vegan way? And they look really great, and they, yeah, I was just really intrigued by them. So he uses here plain flour, caster sugar, baking powder, cinnamon, a pinch of that, which didn't really come through in the flavour for me, but maybe just kind of, yeah, add some depth. Plant-based milk, so I used oat, and golden or agave syrup. Every recipe has golden or agave syrup. Or agave is in brackets, and I was just like, every recipe, I was like, oh my God, okay. I had golden. And vanilla bean paste. He uses a lot of that as well, actually, and quite like big quantities. So I was like, shit, you know, it's so expensive. Extra virgin olive oil. So what got me about this, which was interesting, is that like usually when you're making Madeleines the classic way, you like melt butter, you have to let it cool, it takes a little while, then you kind of you bring everything together, the melted butter goes in last. And then it chills in the fridge for like, I think it's like at least half an hour or something. But in this, it was very like one bowl. So it was quite easy and not very, it was very straightforward. So you just put all the dry stuff in a bowl, whisk that to combine. Then you add in the milk. Again, I used oat milk, golden syrup, vanilla paste and olive oil. And you just mix that until it's smooth. So it's really, really straightforward. And then he says to put that in a piping bag and put that in the freezer for 20 to 30 minutes to chill the dough quickly. So that's what I did. He does say to cut a hole at the tip of the piping bag first. And I was like, why would you do that though before you put it in the freezer? Because it's just going to leak out. He does say to put it on a baking tray, but like, I did not cut the hole because I was like, I didn't want any, nobody wants any leakage. And so
never.
The one step that I thought could have helped here is, again, when you're making madeleines, normally you kind of rub a little bit of butter onto the molds and you dust some flat, a very thin sheet of flour on.
Mm.
And tap it out so that they don't get stuck. And I thought this could have had a little bit of that because they were a tiny bit difficult to get out of the mold, even though it's a good one that I have. But anyway, so you put the oven on and then you pipe the...
Show off.
What? With my mold? I mean, it's John Lewis. It's not amazing, but it is nonstick. And you put the oven on quite high to 230. He says no fan. Oven, no fan. Now, I think I've previously mentioned on this podcast that I have no idea what... I can't see on my oven what any of the... There's two knobs, and I've had to work out through trial and error. What's the fan? What's the grill? What's the whatever? I don't know what half of them are and what the numbers roughly are. So I think
mine is a fan. This is a two knobs podcast.
We are the two knobs. Welcome. And you pipe the batter into the mold almost all the way to the top. Now, I am going to sound like a knob here because when you make them the other way, you always I always measure how many grams go into the for each. So it's 30 grams per madeleine. And this one, he's just almost all the way to the top. So I was a bit I didn't really know. Some of them were a bit uneven. But anyway, so you put the mold into the oven or the tin into the oven and you bake it for 1 minute at that high temperature, I guess, to just give it a poof, an initial blast of heat so that you get that dome. And then you reduce it to 180. Why are you laughing at everything I say? Are you taking innuendos? Are you
just laughing at poof. Poof. Always.
And then you reduce it to 180 and you bake them for 6 to 8 minutes. I had to bake mine a little bit longer because they were just looking a bit sad and pale. But what I do like about him is he always tells you how to know if it's done or not. So you press a gentle press of the bump should spring back is what he says. So yeah, I love little tips like that. Anyway, he says to cool them.
I hate it when people gently press my bumps, by the way.
What, you like a firm press on your bump?
And I also like to be asked first, you know. Take me to dinner before you touch my bumps gently. Oh,
bake me a madeleine before you touch my bumps. And then because they're quite plain, he does say a tip at the bottom. He says to toss them in flavoured sugars, and that could be a vanilla sugar, citrus, cinnamon. He tells you how to make them. And then he says you could dip them in water icing. So I made a little icing with icing sugar and lime juice and lime zest. And I brushed that over the top. Because otherwise I feel like they're quite plain, especially if they don't have the kind of buttery, decadent taste. But they were good. They were really good. They were definitely better than I thought they would be. I did kind of miss the butteriness because I think that's kind of what makes a madeleine. But I think these were as good as you could get without that. I thought they were really, really nice. The icing, I would say if you make them to definitely make some kind of icing with them. You could even half dip them in a dark chocolate that doesn't have any milk in it or whatever. You know, you could do loads of things.
Nuts or something.
Yeah, exactly. So they were good. I was really impressed. They might make it onto my madeleine stand.
Oh, I did wonder if you do the madeleines because you said that yours looked a bit pale, I was like, they do look a bit pale in the picture. When I saw them, I thought, oh, you can tell that they're not normal madeleines. I mean, the one side, the shelly side, the ridged side, I believe that might be called, is
for your pleasure.
It looks perfect in the picture, but the other side is a bit.
Sorry.
You could also dip them in tea. That's a famous thing, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. I was thinking, I thought you meant as a glaze, and I was like, they might get a bit soggy. Eat immediately.
Nice, madeleines.
Yeah, nice, Madeline's to you too. And the second thing that I made were the Lamingtons. Did you make them too?
Did you? No.
Ah, okay, good. Phew. Okay.
I'm just excited and also jealous that I won't get to eat one.
Well, you should be, because they were great. I would really, and they were not. Okay, let's backtrack. Lamingtons are like a kiwi thing. I thought they were Aussie, but he says they're New Zealand. And they're like a little, they're typically like a cube shape, coconutty cake dipped in a kind of chocolate dressing, tossed in a chocolate dressing. Ooh. And sprinkled with coconut.
Say that 15 times.
So you make a vanilla sponge first, and this was great. It uses coconut milk. And I must be so fucking millennial that I went to the fridge to look for like an oat milk equivalent, but coconut milk. And then I was like, oh my God, recalibrate my brain. This comes in a tin. It's fine. Go get it. The fats are, it's like flour, corn flour, sugar, baking powder, bicarb, and then it's peanut oil or sunflower oil. I use sunflower, vanilla extract, coconut milk, and vinegar, which is interesting because that's always, when I was in the cafe, there always had to be some vegan stuff on the counter, and I would always make cakes from this blog called The Domestic Gothess, like a goth. But a domestic goddess, la la la. And all her cakes.
Great name. If you listen, we love you.
Yeah, but her blog is great. And all her cakes, her vegan cakes, have like plant-based milk and a vinegar. And it kind of like curdles the milk to make this like thick, battery kind of thing. And it just always works. So I was really interested to see him doing that here as well. But anyway, you make the sponge, it says the reverse creaming method, which is all the dry stuff in a bowl, you add in the oil and mix it well, and you kind of coat all the dry mix in the oil, and it inhibits gluten development and creates a tight, light, even crumb. Tight, light, even crumb. Boop, boop, be-doop, boop. And in another bowl, you mix the vanilla, coconut milk and vinegar, and you add that back to the dry mix, and you make like almost like a paste. It looks like quite gloopy. And you add the rest.
Oh, it's gloopy.
And then you put that into a square tin, or a rectangular tin, sorry, and smooth it, and you bake it for like 12 to 15 minutes. So that's your sponge bit, and then you let that cool down. And then you make a chocolate dipping sauce that doesn't actually have any chocolate, but it's cocoa powder. Cocoa powder, coconut oil, hot water, and icing sugar. And you just basically, you melt the coconut oil, you mix that in with hot water, and then you add the coconut oil and the cocoa powder and the icing sugar. And it makes this lovely, glossy, smooth sauce thing to coat the sponge in. And then when the sponge is cooled, you're meant to cut it into 12 neat cubes. So I did mine quite small, and like, yeah, it was a little bit messy, so I like trimmed the edges, but I did the 12 cubes quite small. And then he's like, he's very strict about it. You have to set up two stations to keep everything tidy. You set out the prepared sponges, a shallow bowl for the dipping sauce, and then a flat baking sheet for the coconut. I didn't follow that too strictly, but I just used two forks to kind of coat the cube of sponge in the chocolate sauce, and then rolled it in some coconut. He talks about how you have to have, like, you know, in a competition when Lamingtons are judged, one of the criteria is how square they are. So you should like flatten the surface and sharpen the corners. I didn't stress too much about that, to be honest, because it was quite late at night and I just want to eat them. So then I just kind of put them all on a sheet to cool. And I left them overnight, actually. And then in the morning, they were just delicious and great. And Really, 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 the coconut milk in the sponge is really good. Everything's really moist. I hate that word, but it's the only one we can use. And yeah. I gave some away, so I gave them to my the lovely people that mind my terrible dog. And they, the girl in that couple is Finnish, and she messaged to be like, oh my days, these are like from the cookie box I had to sell for school to get money for the school trip, but better. And then I gave some.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, she loved them. And then I gave some to our colleague Rebecca Pizzi, who is vegan and is currently doing her PhD. And I was like, here, take some like sweet stuff home. And like, she, whenever I bake for the office, she can never eat anything because it's never vegan. So it's like, she could just get these all to herself. And she ate one of the Lamingtons straight away and was just like, loved it. Just thought it was great and was like, yeah, blown away. So any like chocolate coconut fans, I would highly recommend them. They were delicious and not, they look a bit more involved than they end up being. I would say it wasn't that bad in the end.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm going to make them.
Yeah. They're delicious. I think you'd really like them.
Yes, I think like, I'm going to put it on my list to make. They sound great.
Great. What did you make, my friend?
I will tell you in 1 second. I just want to tell you about this Lamington place that I keep seeing on TikTok that is in Sydney. I think it's in Sydney.
Yeah.
For our Australian followers, you've probably heard of it because you live there. But it's called Tokyo Lamington.
Oh, great. Great name.
And yes, and I first saw it because Ian Wright, famous ex-footballer in the UK, went there. Anyway,
how random.
And then I know, but some of the Lamingtons look so good. They do this one that's like yuzu and something, and they do one that's like entirely coated. This isn't my jam, but it looks amazing. Like, it's entirely coated in marshmallows and then blowtorched.
Oh, wow.
Like, to look amazing. And I just, if I ever make it to Sydney, that is on my list. I think it's Sydney. I'm pretty sure it's Sydney, not Melbourne, but I'm sorry, Tokyo Lamington, if you're actually in Melbourne. I apologize profusely.
That's interesting though with the marshmallow, because like, when does a Lamington stop being a Lamington? There is the only requisite that it's, you know, square.
Yeah, I don't know. Carrying on the Australia New Zealand theme. Mm-hmm. The first thing I made was Anzac biscuits.
Oh, yay! You made them.
I made them. I love them. We talked about them when Hannah was here. I think I've mentioned before in a pod that I love them. I didn't know about them. I didn't know they were a thing until I started working where we work. And there seems to be a lot of Australian colleagues that we have, and people would bring them in for various things. And they are so good. I really like them. I've never made them before, but I was like thrilled to see them here. I guess because he's Australian, so there's that.
Yes.
Very simple to make. So they are like, if you haven't had one before, they're like an oaty, coconutty,
flapjacky vibe. Kind
Yes. Chewy. Well, when he makes them, he's like, you can have them chewy or crispy. It just depends on how long you leave them in the oven. But
yeah.
I'm a chewy girl. That's what they call me.
Totally. On the street.
Here
comes that chewy girl.
Phil, you love a syrup.
Love
a syrup. This also has a golden or agave syrup in it. So what you do is you make a syrup with syrup and more sugar with muscovado sugar, castor sugar, syrup, golden or agave, water, extra virgin olive oil and sea salt. So you whisk all that up in a... I'm whisking. You whisk all that up in a bowl.
Miming whisking so fast there, I couldn't see your hands anymore. It was just a blur.
Someone sign me up to cordon bleu because I heard that's what you have to learn.
It is, mate. I'm telling you.
So that, and he says, whisk all this together. This is the syrup. Okay. This is the
syrup.
Hi, syrup. And then you mix the dry ingredients, which are flour, baking soda, porridge oats, and coconut, desiccated coconut. Great. Easy peasy. Yeah. And then you just pour the syrup that you've made into the dry ingredients and just coat everything, mix it all. And then he says to leave it for 30 minutes to like hydrate the dough, like let it firm up a bit.
Yeah.
So
let's
I did
firm
that.
Firm up these numbers and we'll circle back.
Corporate Hannah is well and truly here with us today. Do you need help escaping from the corporate world?
Get me out. Let me out.
And then, again, very simple. It's interesting, actually. I'll tell you. It's interesting that you said that he doesn't give weights or anything for the madeleines, because for the two things that I made, like weight, yeah, I mean...
Oh.
Spoiler alert, they're both cookies, and I'm sorry about that, but I like cookies. You scoop 60 gram balls, you roll them into balls and put them on a baking sheet, cook them at 180 fan for 10 minutes for chewy, 12 minutes for crispy. And they puff up and they look great. These were so good. They were so good. I've never made a normal one, so I don't know. But I did have a conversation earlier today with one of our Australian colleagues, and I was telling her about these, and she said that usually you kind of mix baking soda into like the wet ingredients to have it like foam or puff up.
Yes, exactly. Because I'm sorry to talk so much about the cafe that I used to work in, but because it was an artsy cafe and I had to do loads of vegan bacon, there's a lot of memories coming up. But yeah, I had to make like a massive batch of Anzacs every week, and then we'd bake them off in the morning ready for opening. And that was the way we had to do them, was like, melt the butter and then you put the bicarb in, so you almost get like the chemical reaction of it kind of like poofing up, almost like for honeycomb or something like that. And then you would add in all the dry. So that I was interested that didn't happen here, but it doesn't sound like it had a negative effect.
Yeah, he doesn't mention it at all. Actually, his preamble in this thing is all about the kind of history of the biscuit, and that it is the only product allowed to be sold with the Anzac in the name.
Oh, interesting.
Because otherwise it would be seen as commercializing on the sacrifices of war. They were so good.
Yeah.
They were really good.
I like a biscuit like that. I like an oaty thing.
Yeah, they were chewy and they were quite big by the end.
Yeah,
very uniform. I also gave some away to both sets of neighbours, and both of them have texted me or grabbed me when I was outside my house to say, "Oh my god, those Anzac cookies were so good!"
Oh, I love that.
Stephen, my long-suffering husband, said they might be the best cookie I have ever made.
What? That's madness.
Bearing in mind, we made
loads of cookies.
I've made loads of cookies. We did a chocolate chip cookie episode. He loves a chocolate cookie. But these ones...
Oh.
They hit.
I might have to make them this way.
I think you should. It's very easy. Yeah. I feel like they would be a good one if you wanted to give more stuff to... your vegan friend Rebecca,
because
they obviously they're full of sugar and but oats also.
so it's healthy. You can tell yourself they're quite healthy. The sugar content is a bit nuts sometimes. Like in the Lamingtons, in the sponge, it was 320 grams of caster sugar, which was a lot. Like I thought that I had like a lot left in the bag.
Jeez.
And similarly for the dipping sauce, it was 300 grams of icing sugar. So, he doesn't hold back on the sugars, does he?
Whoa. Yeah, no. But, I mean, it adds the... And he loves a brown or a muscovado, like, sugar, to add that. I guess it's, like, a depth of flavour that you might usually get from a butter.
True.
Oh, they were great. They were really good.
Love that.
I'm going to make them. I'm going to make more this week, I think.
Wow. That's great.
So the next ones I made, so it's like I said, I made two cookies. And the reason for this is I had the ingredients. Well, I thought I had the ingredients to make more things, a couple more things. And I was going to just decide. But then I didn't have the time to make the other two things because they needed like resting and cooling and stuff. And I just, because I'd messed up with the sugar. But anyway, I made the banana chip cookies.
Oh, did you? I looked at these.
I did. And he loves bananas, doesn't he? Like there's a load of banana stuff.
Yeah, I was really close to making the banana tartan cake.
Yes. That's on my want to cook list.
Yeah. How are the banana chip ones then?
Great. Really, really nice. I just had one actually before we recorded. Mine, nice. I'll tell you about the recipe in a minute, but mine turned out like probably cakier than the picture looks or that it maybe should be. So they were kind of like little, they were quite big, like almost like mini banana cakes.
Yeah.
Or banana breads, but which is fine because that's really nice.
Yeah.
So this one also has an interesting syrupy method. Oh. So it's 200 grams of bananas. And again, he's so pastry chef-y with these things. Like everything is exactly to the gram.
Yeah.
I love saw it. Something in another recipe and it was like 53 grams of something. Like he doesn't care about how many bananas that is. If that's like two and like one tenth of another, but he doesn't care. So ripe and mashed bananas, 200 grams.
Yeah.
And then you put that, you mash those and you put that in a jug, or he calls it like a blending jug, with muscovado sugar and caster sugar. And you blend it with a hand blender into a syrup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mad. And then you melt some coconut oil, 40 grams, and put that in and mix that in as well to make your kind of wet ingredient syrupy thing.
Gotcha.
And frankly, I would just eat that on toast. Like, smells so good, like coconutty.
Yeah, banana, like, coconut, yeah.
Yeah, he says to get, like, deodorized coconut oil. So, like, it doesn't taste like coconut, but I couldn't find that.
No.
I just had the one I had with extra, just extra virgin or virgin, whatever it's called, coconut oil, but it's fine. So then that's your kind of like syrup, wet ingredients. And then you just mix all the other ingredients together. So that's flour, 300 grams of flour, vanilla extract, baking powder, bicarbonate of soda, salt, cinnamon, and dark chocolate chips.
Nice.
And you just mix all that together and then pour in your syrup, mix that until it's a dough. And then he asks you to put it in the fridge for at least 30 minutes.
Please, could you put it in the fridge for at least 30 minutes?
I ask that you please.
I beg. I implore you.
That it's a particularly wet dough. But I didn't think it was wet though.
You want a wet dough? Well, it's not that wet though.
Mine was as
I got
wet
that
as
wet flow.
Let me see your wet.
Sorry.
Blow?
Toe?
No. I have you squawking like a wet crow. Oh, God. Rest in the fridge. Mine wasn't as wet as I didn't watch the video. I should have watched the video. I didn't. Anyway, and then you put them into 70 gram balls.
Ooh, big boys.
Yeah, they are big boys. I was surprised because if you look at the picture, they look very just cookie dainty size. Anyway, and bake them for 12 to 14 minutes until they are golden around the edges. And again, really, really nice. Like really nice. Because it's you're using like a dark chocolate chip that really like adds to it. I think because it's that's obviously really like tasty, like different kind of flavors, kind of like bitter and
yeah, with the very sweet of the yes. banana and whatever.
Yeah, so they didn't feel like cookies to me. They were more like banana-y rock
cakes.
but really good like flavor. That like syrup situation yeah. is really great.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when did you make them? Are they keeping well? Because I find those soft kind of cookies.
How are you doing? Well? Has it been great?
I just see that those have been soft.
To the doctor.
Those soft cookies don't keep all that best. Well sometimes.
With my warmest regards, Hannah.
Oh my god.
So I just ate one, probably what, like 20 hours after I baked them.
Okay.
And it was nice. It definitely like softer than yeah. it was last night. But great. Flavors great,
10 out of 10.
Honestly, probably 8 out of 10 because they're not very cookie-y. But you just and like the joy I felt taking both of these to the neighbors and being like, and they're vegan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't actually tell people. I didn't tell the couple that mind. Doug, because they're not vegan, so I was like, yeah. let me just see if they like these.
Yeah.
And then when she texted me about the Lamingtons, I was like, could you believe that they're vegan? And she was yeah. like, what? I'm sure I could taste like buttery like goodness in there. But obviously, yeah, Pizzy, I had to reassure her. Whenever you're handing a vegan a baked good, you have to be like, it's vegan, I promise it's vegan.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether I would find I ended up getting a bar of dark chocolate and just cutting it up rather than dark chocolate chips because I feel like some of the dark chocolate chips I saw had milk in them and chips, yeah.
Can we... Yeah. Chocolate chips are shit. The chocolate chips. Those shit. They taste shit. They taste cheap.
They don't melt nicely.
No. They're crap.
I would always get a bar.
Chunks over chips for life.
Chunks over chips. Bars over chips. Chocolate bars. So absolutely, I mean, well, let's talk about what we wanted to make.
Yes.
So the two things I was going to make, and I had the stuff for, and I still might make, is the sweet potato pie tart. Pie tart.
He loves the sweet potato.
He does.
He uses it in his brioche dough to make it nice and floofy.
He uses it in his pastry dough as well, like his flaky pastry dough, like a tiny bit, like 40 grams.
Oh, God. Well, where can you find a 40-gram sweet potato?
But he says to, like, he has you, like, boil it, which I also was interested in, because usually we're not, like, boil it in loads of water, but in, like, just enough water to cover it. And I thought, that's interesting, because that will hold so much water when you boil, but, you know... But anyway, yeah, so the sweet potato pie, I still might make it, looks great. And he in this classic, you know, I work at Harrods thing, it's got like these phyllo pastry leaves on top.
Yeah. Madness.
I probably wouldn't fuck around with those, let's be honest.
The sticky toffee date pudding, I feel like that would be really interesting to try because typical sticky toffee pudding is so laden with butter and like...
Yeah,
I bet he pulls that off really well. The banana tatin cake I wanted to make. There was an extra virgin olive oil cake that looked interesting too.
Mm. Tom, the Sasha tort for me was... I love a Sasha tort.
Yeah.
And we talked about it when I had the book and Hannah was here, that he like rehydrates dried apricots and puts that in the chocolate cake dough.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
He is. He's very, very good. It's making me want to go to Harrods.
Just watch his TikTok. It's fine.
Yeah, okay, cool.
No need to go all the way to bloody Knightsbridge.
I'm there all the time anyway, so I just thought.
Oh, true, on your various dates with various men, you know, in Knightsbridge.
Excuse, shut your mouth, I'm a taken woman now.
Oh, sorry. Tom doesn't take you to Knightsbridge on dates.
No, Stamford Bridge is the best, I'm guessing. I really did want to make the brioche, just to see what it was like, but it's a lot. It's a lot of... the sweet potato actually was the thing that put me off in the end because I had everything else. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll just give it a go. And then I was like, oh, and the 40 grams of sweet potato. But I would love to give that a go. I think all the things that you typically really associate with eggs and butter would just be really fun to try.
Yeah. I didn't see him. I read a couple of his interviews. He said that he loves the apple pie. Mm. There's an apple pie and a banoffee pie, and he says that they are his favourite ones in the book.
The apple pie is super stacked, isn't it? Like, it's like layers and layers of apples.
Yeah. I love this book. I'm never relinquishing it and lending it out. I love it.
Yeah, I'm massively impressed. I think it's really great. Should we rate it, actually?
Nah. Nah. Also, the chocolate chip cookies.
Yes.
One more thing I like about it before we rate it is the portion sizes are so...
Normal.
Normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the Anzac cookies made 10, the banana ones made 12, and they made exactly that. It's so well tested, and everything looks so uniform when they came out the oven. So, yes, that's another good thing. Anyway, what are we rating out of? No, what is our rating system?
Default. Recalibrate. We rate out of 5 criteria, Victoria. I'm surprised you don't know these.
I don't.
Please remind me what they are. we rate out of...
Sexability, wow.
Sexability.
He's quite a handsome man, that I thought.
He's not bad, is he? He's not bad at all. Quite young, I would say, as well. Young boy. I mean, our age. You know, yes. He's achieved a lot for someone.
He's achieved a lot, and he doesn't look like he's worked in professional kitchens for, you know, at least 10 years. He looks, you know, fresh out of the...
Healthy. Doesn't have that ashen look that they often have. No natural light and tons of nicotine.
Yeah.
But, yes, sorry. So we rate out of usability and accessibility. That's one.
That's one.
Ingredients used... Aesthetics, how pretty the book looks and how nice it is. Veggie friendliness, you know, come on. And inspirability, which is...
Inspirability.
Yeah. How, motivated you feel to have a little go. And each episode we change the rating based on... That's what I say at Stamford Bridge.
prepping you.
Stamford Bridge, for anyone who doesn't know, is the Chelsea football home ground, and I'm being having to visit this weekend to be a football ladette, I believe they're called.
Do you? Do you want me to map how far it is from Stamford Bridge to Harrods?
Yes, please. Okay. I had to ask what to wear. each episode we change our rating system based on the chef or the book. And so it felt only right that for Philip Corey, A New Way to Bake, that we rated out of golden or agave syrup. And so
it's a 35-minute bus. Or you could get on the Piccadilly and then the District Line in 20 minutes.
I mean, it's certainly a way to classy up my day, isn't it?
Like, it's a 45-minute walk.
Oh, good, yeah. Good to know. But between the pints and the, chanting, I'll nip down to Harrods and get myself a dainty cake.
You eat that in the stands.
No, boys, don't mind if I do.
You could bring them for everyone. Just make sure they're blue ones, not like, you know, other colours.
Definitely
not red ones. Are they playing Arsenal, did you say?
Yeah. Mm. From what I've heard, you don't want to cheer the opposition on. Yeah, that was in my book, Football for Idiots, that I picked up this week. Do not cheer on the opposition. When the ball goes in the net, it's doing, that's a goal. Victoria, how many golden or agave syrups are you giving this book out of 5?
Oh God! Do you want me to give you a little crash course on the offside rule?
No, no. This fucking annoys me. People act like the offside rule is rocket science for women, especially, and it's like, it's okay. It's okay. We can understand very complex things, including sport rules.
Not me.
I fucking resent that. But yes, please, after the show.
Yeah. We'll make it a mini-sode just in case any other women listening need to know.
We'll do it with cakes. We'll do a little diagram with cakes. Yes.
I have red cakes and blue cakes. And a little goal made out of like sugar syrup stuff.
Yeah, sugar cage.
Oh, God. Okay, so music and accessibility, that's one. That gets one from me. Mm-hmm. This is such a usable and accessible book.
Yeah.
So it gets one golden or agave syrup from me. Mm-hmm. Ingredients used, yeah, great. Get it. Another one from me. Another syrup.
Get it.
More syrups. This man loves a syrup, and I love this book. Aesthetics. Now, this could be the one that I would call into question because, like you said, it is a little bit sterile and stuff, but the pictures are beautiful. And the recipes aren't complicated in terms of, like, you know, they don't take up pages each time. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving it one. I don't care. It's getting a whole one from me. Obviously, it's veggie friendly. There's nothing really to discuss there. And I am giving it one for inspirability. So that is 5 golden syrup or agave syrups out of 5.
The Verily Seen Victoria, 5 out of 5.
I love it. I love this book. How about you, Hannah?
I love that you love it.
Thanks, babe.
I'm in love with love. exact same, except I'm going to dock 0.5 point for aesthetics because it just didn't float my boat on that front. It's very functional. It's not ugly, but it's just a bit...
Like me, I guess.
You're more than... You put the fun in functional.
put the fugly in ugly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Loved it. Thought it was great. And feel like more and more occasions in my life come up where you need to bake something vegan. And prior to this, I had kind of only thought about Nischissima, the Georgina Hayden book that we'd done, which had a couple of bits. But this has everything, and it's easy, and they work. So, like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and a couple of the recipes, he does say that you can switch the flour out for gluten-free flour.
Oh.
So that's if that's a thing that you have allergy to, then that might help. I was just thinking about Nystismia and how she has those gluten-free tahini and sesame cookies, and they were so good.
Yeah. He's got some chocolate tahini ones in here, doesn't he?
Yes. That was also it's great. It's a great book. If you can get it, get it. it seems to be sold out, but it's very new. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel the same. Like, I always want to have, you know, the option to make something.
Yeah. And Phil's given you that option. He's given you life.
Phil, you have given me life. And not only that, a great new TikTok account to look at.
Oh, yeah, so, maybe I should get into TikTok now that I'm off Instagram.
She's off Instagram, lads.
It's been a wet weekend, guys. Don't worry. It's really nothing to shout about. Anyway, we digress.
We love you.
We love you. We love football.
Everybody send their really good vibes to Hannah. Although, by the time this comes out, you'll have been to the football.
I'll have a black eye or something. Isn't that what happens?
No, you'll have like a scarf.
Yeah.
And you'll be planning to go next time.
I'll be talking about like 4-4-2 formations and like.
Exactly.
That's it. That's all I've got.
So, you know. But you can watch Ted Lasso. You can learn about. Real football. I don't know. There's a thing that they do that towards the end. It's called like real football or like original football or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, between now and tomorrow, I'll try to make the time. Thank you for listening.
And if you want to support our work, you can go on Patreon.
Bye.
We love you. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.